We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
Hell yeah, we are!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I just don't know the who's who's or the what's what's.
What up, y'all? It's Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male, and when I go to the bar, I don't drink a beer like most of you guys. I shotgun a White Claw. And if you do the same, hashtag it, sore loser shotgun. Haven't been seeing many of those.
Oh, did you see Batter's Box?
He did a shotgun?
Yeah, after the 49ers win on Sunday.
What up, everybody? It's Batter's Box.
Hey, that's back.
Yeah, I put it back
up. And he calls me yesterday and he goes, you guys can't give me any love on the shotgun? I'm like, dude, you didn't tag the Sore Loser Show. Yeah, I did. You guys don't know how to check Twitter. You don't know how to check Twitter.
What's wrong with him?
And he gets on and goes, oh, I did the hashtag, but I didn't tweet it, you guys, so I guess you guys didn't see it.
Okay. And I think when he even posted it, he didn't send it out as a tweet. He sent it as a response to people. So not a whole bunch of people can even see it then.
So then I had to quote retweet and
say,
please rate this, you know, give him a score. He had his two stepsons dancing in the video.
I didn't know he had kids that old.
Well, they're stepsons.
Okay, Coach, I was like, who's all these people in his family I didn't know about? I thought he had a young kid.
Yeah, he's got a three-year-old, and then he has those two high schoolers that are smell bad and have no hygiene. And
Coach, you just went hard.
They're teenagers. That's what they do.
Any teenager.
I got you. Hey, the one's about to graduate from high school. Like, wow, when I met them, they were like tiny kids. It was like really weird. Now seeing them grown up, it's really strange.
Dang, so I'm not going to focus on the no hygiene thing, but you as an
uncle. I don't even know if they have no hygiene.
You as an uncle, though, like if you see them like dress sloppy or whatever, do you intervene and be like, come on, hey, pick your pants up.
Hey, grab this rubber.
I did give them both a pack of condoms for Christmas.
That is what I'm talking about.
Why?
That's funny to make embarrass them in front of everybody. Like, that's what you do.
Did they open it in front of everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Did some of them, like, what are these?
Well, they both. Well, the one, the younger one, who's a freshman in high school, he was the first one to open it, and he opens it up and he goes, and it gets all kind of quiet, and he goes, "This can't be really what it is." And then he opens it and he goes, "This is really what it is." And he got red in the face.
What did mom and dad do?
They laughed a little bit. They laughed a little bit.
So they thought it was funny.
Yeah. And everybody else was like, my sister was laughing pretty good. My dad was laughing.
Because if you were my brother and you gave my son condoms, I'd be like, what the F is wrong with you? Like,
They go National Lampoon style at Christmas.
Yeah, kind of funny gifts. Like back when they were, I would say, 9 and 11, I wrapped up two Barbies in the same package and I put two E and C from, you know, Uncle Box. And they rip it open, and they get halfway through the opening, and they realize what it is. And, I mean, it was, like, instantaneous. They both, oh, what makes you think we want a Barbie? And they threw it across the room. Hilarious. And so you just kind of do joke gifts ever since.
Yeah, and do you really want to be the family? Oh, this is a nice painting I've wrapped up for you, Eddie. Do you like it? I mean, who wants to be a rich family like that?
Yeah, opening up? Boring.
I think there's a happy medium, right? I got you
the world's finest lamp I want you to put in your house. That's not funny or fun. Get him a pack of 12 rubbers, dude.
So Christmas is about funny and fun.
Well, you get the good. You still give them real gifts, but you got to mix in a joke gift every now and then.
I thought that they just got condoms for Christmas from Uncle Box.
Yeah, Coach, they got 12 Jimmies.
No,
that's what I thought. There's always a side gift.
No, and then they got a gift card.
You go slap them on the ass, you give them $20. Oh,
at that age, they don't want anything but gift cards.
They want weed. Is that right?
Yeah,
they don't want a gift card here. Like PS3 games or something?
Not that I remember them saying PS4. It was more gift card, Nike shoes.
Shoes are big with teenagers.
I thought shoes were big when we were kids. They're even bigger now.
Coach, and there are so many that there's no way that you're going to get. Back when we were young, it was just like, oh, I already have these shoes. Like, no. Now they make thousands and thousands of shoes.
Here's my belief is I never had expensive shoes, like fancy, cool shoes.
That's okay. The gift's not for you, though.
No.
Okay.
So I will never buy anybody nice,
That's
expensive
the spirit,
shoes.
Coach.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Okay, I didn't have a house growing up, so now I will never.
No.
Hey, I never had fire. Rub those two pieces of wood together.
I just don't.
It's like, what are you talking about?
I don't understand the shoe
thing.
That's
fine, but if they want it as a gift.
Like
I'm talking about your kids. Like, if Baby Box grows up and he's a teenager and he wants LeBron's.
No chance.
That's the one thing he wants Christmas?
No chance.
Oh, that's coming, dude. I've already heard five different NBA players my nephew wants.
Baby Box has pulled the wrong card in life. That's just terrible. It sucks.
Oh, Coach, my nephew.
So you're telling me if you're a 12-year-old wants Jordans, you're going to buy him Jordans?
I said teenager.
Okay, 13.
You know how much Jordans are?
$100-something.
And Coach, it's $110 maybe.
Okay, you want to know how much I got for shoes when I was a kid?
Coach, you were a kid in the 80s.
You want to know how much my dad? $50.
That's great.
That's it.
Coach, for what?
That was 30
shoes.
Years
that
ago.
That was it. That was the max.
Ooh, that'd be tough to get a pair of Nikes with that.
Yeah, Coach, that was 20
years
ago.
Oh, I got the bottom of the line Nikes. That's what I'm saying. And if I wanted anything more, get a job.
At 13?
Yep.
Go get a job at 13.
He said,
Coach, this isn't Mexico. You can't work at 13.
Listen, I am telling you, it was $50. And if I want anything more, go find the money yourself.
We'll talk in a few years.
No, I am not.
There's no Coach. It's his Christmas.
You can't
put your terrible life in his and make it his now.
No, I'm not making it. My life wasn't terrible.
It sounds terrible. You know what I wore? Sandals.
No. Do you think my life was so bad that I didn't have Jordans or the Reebok pumps? No.
Okay.
It made me understand, you know what? If I want something, I got to go work for it.
Yeah.
And I would never.
Coach, you're talking about a 13-year-old. Stop it. Work for it.
I went and mowed lawns in the neighborhood if I wanted something.
Okay.
I would never, like, I don't even buy myself LeBron's. I'm not going to buy my nephew or my kid
Christmas
LeBron's.
Christmas present idea for him for next year.
LeBron.
Get him some LeBron's.
No.
The ones that Velcro over.
God, no.
He comes in them, dude, in his wind pants.
Hey, they're fluorescent orange.
You guys are right. These things are comfy as hell. I got the LeBron's.
Hey, they're Laker colors, too. I got 23 on them. He's got jeans from high school.
Him and brother walk by each other in the hallway. Brother's got his Kansas City Chiefs shoes. He's got the LeBrons.
Hey, Lunch is walking down the hall. You hear, hey, he carries around a basketball now after everywhere he goes.
I'm dribbling down the hallway. You know what I mean? I set it on my desk. Like, yeah, look at that.
Okay, I take it back. I wish I had LeBrons when I was
Have you ever had nice shoes like that?
I remember one Christmas I got Jordans, and that was my only gift, and it was the best gift I ever got. My whole thing on Christmas is if you're going to get one big gift, make it one good gift. I don't like...
Yeah, like a bike.
Yeah, I don't
That's
like...
That's fine.
I don't like getting them 20... small gifts. Like, if they want something, I don't mind going like, all right, kid, it's Christmas. You got what you wanted, but that's it.
I just never, like, if I had LeBrons or Jordans when I was a kid, I would have been scared to wear them to get them. I wouldn't want to get them dirty.
Coach, the whole thought.
Like, there's no way.
The whole thought of having those kind of shoes when you were kids is that you could be like Jordan. I remember, like, if I bought Jordans, I was going to play like Jordan. Obviously, it's not true. But that was the whole...
You did think for a second until you started dribbling and shooting that you were Jordan.
Yeah. Until you walked out the door and got on the court. Like,
That's right.
You laced him up. You felt like him. And
you
then
feel
after
like
that
him.
Like that moment passed, the minute you grabbed a ball.
And there's also a thing, too. Like, Jordan wore those back when we were kids. I don't think... Does LeBron wear one of his 100 design shoes that he puts out?
I assume, yes.
On the court while he plays?
I assume he has
You're
to.
You're right, though. Literally, the Jordans
know.
You would buy are the ones Jordan
was wearing. On TV that night.
I would assume he has to wear them. Like, Steph Curry wears the Currys. Not right now.
Oh, I thought there was a line of them. I don't know. I thought, like, LeBron's wasn't, like, a one shoe.
Well, Harden, I mean, they come out, with new, come out with, like, three or four.
Right.
Okay.
They come out with new ones every, I don't know how long.
My son mentioned the Kyries or something.
Oh, there you go.
Talk to my nephew.
$200. There you go. Go get them.
I didn't buy him those.
Why?
Well, because we got him something else that he wanted.
No, but he really wanted them.
No. He did the list of 20 things. I'm like, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I would have grabbed scissors list. And cut that in half and made it 10 to start and then rolled with that.
It's just interesting that's the way you look at it. I just never look at, like, my parents, like, Jerbeau and Guess were huge.
Oh, my gosh, those pants.
They were huge when I was a kid. Do you think my parents ever got me a pair of those?
Uh-uh.
Nope.
So you didn't. You weren't able to wear the popular stuff, so the kid ain't wearing the popular
stuff.
Wait,
but would you tell your parents, like, hey, I really want these Jerbeaus?
Jerbeaus, yeah.
Yeah. Francis Francois or Jerbeaus?
Yeah. Nope, sorry.
Dang.
I got one pair of Jabot shorts, like
What you wanted.
No, errors. You know, they at Solo Serve. You go to Solo Serve and it's always like the seam down the front. They were like mess ups. They're on discount. And my parents didn't even buy them for me. This kid, Michael, clearly, I was shopping with him and his mom. And I was like, man, I've always wanted a pair. And his mom bought me a pair of the shorts. I mean, they were like knockoff, seam, like the lines were, like the stripes or something was wrong. But
now, your parents probably, I mean, was it like they didn't have the one? They didn't have money to just kind of splurge on whatever?
I think it's one, they didn't have the money to splurge. And I just don't think they believed in needing, because, I mean, as a kid, you grow out of that stuff so fast and you don't take care of it.
That's true.
So I think they believed in, man, you don't need that crap.
Exactly.
And they were right. No, looking
now
back.
Now you look back, you're like, it was all pretty much a waste of money. You could have gotten the crappiest shoes ever.
Right. And so that's why I look at it as my kid. I understand that I'm going to face those battles coming up with my kids. They're going to want.
You got 10 years, Coach.
No, I understand that. But I'm going to face those battles. But that's just how I was raised. And that's what I believe is like, man, I don't need to be wasting my money. Like right now when I go clothes shopping, if it ain't on the sales rack, I don't need it. Because if you buy something brand new, if you just wait 2 months, it's going to be on the closeout rack.
So, I live right next to the Marshalls and the Rosses.
There you go.
That's the only place I shop. You don't need to go to the full price places.
Go to Nordstrom Rack where everything comes from the regular store when it's ready. They're trying to clear it out and it's freaking $15.
But I'm telling you, the rich people shop at those expensive stores and they look so dumb when something goes out of style. And they always take these unbelievable stretches when it comes to attire and what they wear, and they look ridiculous. A majority of rich people don't know how to dress. I'm telling you right now. Because they take those leaps that you don't need to. Look at me.
Oh,
I'm dressed in all black right now. Could not be in any more style. I feel good. I look good. But I mean,
that means you podcast good.
Podcast good. Like, this is all budget crap. The people that are rich, I would have come in a pink coat. And I would have looked ridiculous.
No,
but
pink
because
coat
I'm rich.
With yellow dots and a blue stripe on the back.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I watch, my wife watches Project Runway. It's where they design clothes. And
you
like,
watch it, though.
I do watch it because I'm a good
You can leave your wife out of it, and you watch the show.
And I've come to like it because it's entertaining. It's a competition. And they put these outfits together, and they're like, oh, I could see a woman wearing that. I'm like, in what world would a woman wear that? No one would wear. I've never seen anybody wear anything like that in my life.
That are on the runways.
Yes.
I agree 100%.
Then what's the point of the runway?
I don't really understand that either.
Because that's a great point.
Because they always come out with these extravagant clothes and like, oh, that I could definitely see a working woman wearing that. And I'm like, I could never see someone in my office wearing that outfit.
And I think they take a part of that outfit, dumb it down, make it less expensive, and then sell it to the masses. Maybe 1% of people wear that actual outfit, but for the most part, they make it so that a lot of people will be comfortable with it, and it's not like crazy stripes and stuff. They just do one stripe of that.
Now, the Victoria's Secret show, if you had money to splurge, would you buy your wife or girlfriend what you see on that runway?
I mean, bra and panties?
Yeah, you know, but those are extravagant bra and panties.
I don't think they are. I think they're just the normal ones you go to the
store
and buy.
Well, the ones, the angels.
The angels, that's
what
I'm talking about.
They come with the wings.
Well, I'm not going to buy my wife the wings.
You wouldn't?
No.
For a special night?
No. I don't need my wife. You know how annoying that would be to take those wings off?
High heels?
Ah, dang. No,
like, high heels on it?
She has her own high heels.
Okay.
And what if he wasn't expecting it? He'd think that he died.
You ever bought your chick good lingerie?
No, I mean, yeah.
Why are you smiling?
I've gone to Victoria's Secret and got her some of the,
you
know.
You did?
Yeah.
What was that? I've never done it. What was that process?
Coach, that's square one.
What?
That's like the easiest Christmas gift ever.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Or just a surprise on a Wednesday,
dude. I've
never
bought that for Christmas.
Coach,
No, you don't have to do it on Christmas because you don't want her to open that in front of your family. That's in front of the kids.
Ray said Christmas.
He didn't have kids.
Yeah, so it was fine. So I was able to do it year one or two at Christmas. Eddie, also, with your wife, not being a creep, but when you go in the store, the ladies are actually very helpful.
No, they really are.
Are they? Yeah, I feel weird.
She'll say, hey, does she have as big her boobs my
they
size?
They say stuff
Coach,
like that?
I'm dead serious.
Dead serious.
And
they ask
I'm like,
do you ever go,
no,
let
and
me.
I'm just like, and she's like, so are her boobs a lot like this? I'm like, it's like getting hot in there, dude. Just like Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm like sweating. I'm like, she's like, do you like the black? Let me go get the red real quick. And I'm like, okay.
Do you like it a little more lacy?
Do you want to see these in the dressing room?
Stop it. Stop it. Is it like that for
real? Is there a way for me to maybe see these in 3D?
You're so stupid.
Can we lay out the runway right here?
Coach, I'm telling you, they are more helpful than you would think.
They really are. They are there. They are so professional, and they are so nice. And like, you walk in, and they come up to you like, "Hey, is there anything in particular you're looking for? Like, do you know dimensions or sizes?"
And he's explaining it. I like it when there's the whale tail G string.
Yeah, when the whale tail's out of the back of the jeans, that's my favorite.
Okay, all right.
They know when a guy needs help.
They do. They see the desperation in your eyes when you walk into that store.
Really?
You should try it someday. You should try.
My problem with lingerie though is like my wife will buy lingerie and she'll be like, "Ooh, look what I bought," or whatever, and like, cool. And then when it comes time, I'm just like, "Great, can you take them off?" Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't.
Like, it's a waste of time.
Right. Man. I'm like, I don't even want them on you. Like,
and don't you think though? Like,
I want it off.
It doesn't take it, for me. I think the fun part is like giving her the lingerie lets her know, "Hey, I want to see you in this."
Yes.
Instead of her having to go buy it and be like, "I look good in this." Like, you get her something and she's wow. like, "Then I really know I look good."
Wow. You just changed perspective.
Yes. Like, yes. If you go get her some lingerie and just leave it on the bed on a Wednesday or something. Or
I
want
to see you in this.
No, you don't have to say it. You just leave it. Be like, "Happy Wednesday. See you tonight." She's going to be like, "Dang, he wants to see me in that."
Yeah, guys, I don't know. I don't even know if I can do this Victoria's Secret thing.
Then don't do that. Go to the XXX bookstore.
Coach, I'll get distracted.
There's one in town. I'm always in my chick. I'm like, "Hey, what if we swung by there right now? How funny would that be?" Who actually goes those damn things?
A lot of people.
I see cars out there.
You know what I
do
love is the ones on the side of the highway that have the big fence around them so you can't see whose car is parked.
Talking about the one in Austin, Coach.
No, they're everywhere. Every small city. Like on the driveway.
No. It's not those. You know the ones that.
But why do they have the fence around them?
So they don't see. Because if the wife's driving by, they don't see the husband's car in there.
That's so ridiculous.
That's what I thought.
The odds are that they're going to see, there's a million white vans in the world. Oh, that looks like my husband's white van.
And turn what around. If you work there? You just walk around all day at work with a boner?
No, I don't think that they. It's just like you work at McDonald's. Okay. You don't eat McDonald's anymore.
All right.
Right?
I don't know about that.
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, because if I work at a strip club, I'm going to still be looking.
Would you? After a while, you'd probably just be like, "All right, this is just work."
But I'm still going to be attracted to girls.
Right. I know, but you're not staring the whole time.
That's probably true.
Okay. But anyway, the ones that are weird to me are the ones when you're doing a road trip. You're taking a road trip.
I was going
to
say the exact same thing.
And you're in the middle of
nowhere. That's what I'm saying.
I'm talking, Coach, between Paducah and Pittsburgh. Like, and you're like,
"Where the hell are you going?"
There's nothing, not even a gas station, but there's a Lion's Den or whatever they're called.
Or XXX Extravagance. You know what I mean?
What about the semi-truck drivers? They've got to pull in there. They're trying to back it up.
That's exactly who that's for. It's for the semi-truck drivers.
Oh, you couldn't be any more obvious. You're pulling your semi into the XXX store.
Hey, Jimmy, it looks like you didn't make it on time to drop your load. Oh, no, I dropped my load. All
right. Okay, hey, they're inside. They can hear a boom. Not a customer.
Here comes Jackson.
And he's having to reverse it.
knocks over the fence. Like, oh, man, that's so funny. Because you're right. They're in the middle of nowhere.
And you answered my question. It's truck drivers. That's it.
Oh, man.
That's it. I didn't even think about that.
It's a lonely truck driver.
Yeah. And the nearest town's probably like an hour away, 30 minutes away.
What do you always call that when they go to a truck stop? Something rats? Oh,
lot lizards.
Lot lizards, that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's them. That's those girls.
You ever go to like a Pilot or Love's?
Oh, those big old, yes. They're everywhere.
The big gas stations, the ones that have like 50 pumps and the truck pumps in the back.
You'll see a lot lizard. Are there any lot lizards at Bucky's in Texas?
No. Bucky's won't allow lot lizards.
Too nice.
Classy.
Yeah.
Dude, my parents, we were meeting my grandma and stuff. We're up in Michigan, and we park in the back of this Pilot.
You found Graham in the back?
She was a lot lizard.
Graham was a lot lizard.
That's how you found out Granny
was
a lot lizard.
My grandma, my mom, and my aunt were walking across the parking lot, and they looked like three lot lizards.
Oh, no.
I was like, "Get the hell in the car."
All the drug up.
They're like, "Hey, where are you headed, lady?"
"We lost Grandma."
Grandma went with Maurice. He was taking a load up in Des Moines.
goes.
Oh, man.
Poor grandma.
Poor grandma and poor Clemson.
Oh boy.
Man, guys.
Hey, guys, you have to tell me what happened. I didn't watch any of
it. I know.
You and me both.
I'll tell you all about it.
It was 7-0 when I went to bed. I thought Clemson was national champions.
It was actually a really – it was a competitive game. Clemson came out and was confusing LSU early. Just their defense was just getting to Joe Burrow. They pinned him deep a couple times. But once LSU figured out what was going on with that defense, they made the adjustments. And then after that, Clemson's defense never made the adjustments, and it was just a slow and steady –
Burn.
And the game was it was competitive. Clemson had their chances, but Lawrence was just off. It was the worst game I've seen him play.
Oh, so he wasn't hitting guys running?
He wasn't hitting guys. He was inaccurate. A lot of overthrows.
So when you said the guy that's most experienced in those situations and won't be nervous was nervous and not performing
I don't know
well.
If he was nervous. I think the LSU pressure was getting to him, so he wasn't able to step into his throws, and so he was airmailing a lot. Just a lot of he felt the pressure.
How does LSU – I know the game's already set in stone a year ahead of time. How do they get to play in New Orleans?
New Orleans, home field.
I mean, it's an hour away.
Yeah, but what was the crowd like? Half
80,
and half?
No, 80-20.
Okay.
Coach, it was a home
it
game for LSU.
It was rocking LSU.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Rocking.
I mean, that probably has a lot to do with it.
LSU was just the better team. Watching the game, you realize LSU was the better team, and LSU will go down as one of the best teams in the history of college football.
And we didn't even know it while it was going on. That's
they,
sad.
The 2019 LSU Tigers will go down in history as the best team.
Yes. They beat 5 of the top 8 teams in the final poll on their way to a championship. I mean,
but going in though, you never thought that
they were off the radar before the season.
Burrow's was 250-1 odds to win the Heisman.
Yeah, they were 20 or 30-1 to win the national title.
But you saw the games they played all year. Clemson didn't play crap, but you still went into this national championship thinking that Clemson is the better team and would win.
I thought Clemson's defense.
Why? And now after seeing yesterday, what?
Because here's the thing. Clemson had a chance to win back-to-back national titles, and they're going to be favored going into next year. So that if they win last night, they have a chance to three-peat. And then LSU goes into last night beating all these top teams, and then if they go in and beat another top teams, they're going down as one of the best teams in history. So you had two colossal storylines, and I just thought Clemson had what it took to beat them. I thought their defense would be able to slow down Joe Burrow and LSU.
They did at first.
They did the first quarter, and then they just methodically started wearing them out, and they just started picking them apart. And the DB for Clemson, his name's Terrell. I want someone to do a welfare check on this poor kid because he was getting beat like a drum. Chase had like two. The wide receiver for LSU had like 240 yards on this poor guy. I mean, every time.
But I saw a couple of those passes. They were great catches, right?
Yes, but every time they saw Terrell over there on Chase, they were just like, audible shit. We're going that way. They threw it at him all night long. And LSU's wide receivers were just so good. They were just so good. They were good all year, and they were good last night. I thought the DBs for Clemson could hold up. They couldn't do it.
How did Burrows look just as a
coach? He had 6 touchdowns.
Coach, I don't look at numbers. I want to know what he looked like. I watch games with my eyes, coach.
Did you see the video of him smoking a stogie outside?
Coach, I'm asking on the field.
He did like a boss. He had a big old cigar afterwards. Like, what up?
He is 30. Coach, he smoked a couple of those.
I know, but
it was like someone had a baby. They were passing them out.
And you're telling me there's no alcohol in those locker rooms? Come on.
There has to be, right? They have champagne?
No.
No, but they act like
they're under
not.
21.
Some of them.
A lot of them.
But there's airplane bottles
talking
being
about a lot
passed
of
around.
A lot of them. They're 8, like 21 is when you graduate college.
That's not true. I graduated at 23.
Dang, dude. What'd you get?
Oh, wait, is that not normal?
I didn't know you were a non-traditional 19, student, dude. 19,
did you get a master's, 20, dude?
21. Oh, crap.
Did you get your PhD?
Dude, I didn't know you were advanced.
Yeah, man. You call me doctor.
Did
Eddie.
You double
what
major?
What was your thesis on, man?
Oh, life.
Okay.
Took me a while to just figure that one out.
That's the that's the
mean?
Thing.
When did you graduate?
21.
Coach?
In 4 years, but when I was 23.
Because you started later.
What?
Because I did
in 4 years.
He was just laughing at me for graduating at 23.
In four years, but when I was 23.
That means he went to the mill for 3 years.
Did you take a gap year?
No, it just happened. My birthday hit right as I was graduating, so I ended up being, it seemed like I was there for five years.
So you graduated high school at 19?
I graduated a semester late in college.
How the hell did...
So 4.5 years.
Yeah.
How do people drink in college towns then?
It's illegal!
No, coach, at bars.
What do you mean?
You get a buddy to write your exes
off. At college bars, usually in college towns, it's 18 and up to get into the bar.
No, I'm talking, and no one's drinking except the seniors?
Your buddy's handing you drinks. They're not very strict.
Usually,
if I was an alcoholic and beverage officer, I would just go to every college bar and make my quota
coach,
in like
all
January.
All of them are underage.
It's 21 and 22-year-olds usually that are seniors in college.
That was not my vibe in college.
But
I was drinking all the time, legally.
But you also get drunk before the bars. And
well, because you were 42 years old in college.
No, coach, I wasn't the only one that was 21 or 22 in college.
You got to understand, how many people went to your school?
I don't know. I have no clue. Couldn't even tell you.
Okay, so let's say 20,000, okay? So half of those are going to be juniors and seniors. And they can drink. So you're talking 10,000 people. Half the school can drink. Half can't legally.
Okay.
So that's why it seems that everybody can drink.
All right.
And also, I mean, I would say more people are 17, 17 and a half, 18 going to college. So for a good 3 years, you're not able to drink. I mean...
a lot of people graduate high school at 18 and they turn 19 before they go to college or in the middle of their freshman year.
Yes.
So it's usually the middle of your junior years when you're able to, the beginning of junior, middle of junior year, when you can start drinking
there
legally.
There you go.
Weird. I graduated high school at 17. So when I went to college, I was 18. I turned 18 a month before college started. So I was the youngest of the young.
Oh, yeah. You were young.
Yes. So I couldn't drive until my junior year.
Of college? Coach, you can't drive, drink, anything? What is this guy?
Yeah, so that's what it is. That's why there's no alcohol.
Okay.
But Joe Burrow, man, he looked good last night.
And oh, it's Burrow without an S?
I think so.
My bad.
But I like
the whole season.
Let me tell you,
to learn the Heismans.
You know what I didn't realize is he's fast. He can kind of run. Like, he looks tall and he looks lanky. Like, he's not that quick. But man, whenever he made up his mind and went, boom, 20 yards. You ain't catching him.
The Tom Brady's of the old are no longer existent.
Very few and far between.
Yes.
It's a lot harder to be that.
Yeah, you got to be able to run, even if you're not a dual threat. Even Burrows, he's not a dual threat, but apparently he's really fast.
I mean, it was so... I mean...
Isn't it easier for a lot of college quarterbacks to run, though?
Well, yes, because it's more spread out.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're right. But it was huge in the game. It was huge in the game. It was a big part of the game. And he dropped... He made some great passes. And more what I liked is what he said afterwards.
He said to them.
Joe Burrow, they're interviewing him. And
what does he talk like? Does he talk like Bergeron?
Tom Bergeron?
Ed Bergeron, what's his name?
Oh,
Bergeron.
The Gators. Go back to the Gators.
Yeah, how does he talk?
He talks like a kid from Ohio.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right.
Yeah. And he talked about the Burrow curse, about how his dad didn't win a national title. Him and his brothers all lost in the state championship, and they finally got a title. His dad lost in the Grey Cup championship. And he goes, we finally got it. He goes, since I was 5 years old, I didn't dream about winning an NFL championship or winning the Heisman. I dreamed about hoisting this trophy. A two-star recruit wanted to go to Nebraska where his dad and his brother played. They didn't recruit him. Goes to Ohio State. Can't sniff the field. Goes to LSU. And he's the Heisman Trophy. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And he's a national champion.
I mean, that transition, that moment in time when he decided to go from Ohio State as a backup to a starter at LSU is the most seminal, pivotal moment in the history of the kid's life.
Yes.
That moment, books need to be written about him.
Coach, do you grow up competitive? It's like your whole family. I know
no,
you're.
No, coach, he loved to lose.
I know you're very competitive.
I am very competitive.
But is your whole family competitive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most people are competitive.
And that's not true.
My chick loves to win at games.
Great.
Everybody's competitive.
Your chick's competitive. I don't care to win everything.
I don't think my wife's
I don't mind losing. The other day, me and Lunchbox played golf. I lost. Cool.
You're cool losing a bet?
Who cares? Well, coach, I mean, if I lost like $1,000, no. If I lost a dollar, that's why I bet a dollar. Who cares?
Yeah, I want to apologize to that guy. He hedged it all 500 on Clemson.
I got to read the tweet because it actually broke it down.
Not.
Yeah.
Coach, it broke it down perfectly. How
that's why you wait on those things.
Wait.
Wait, you can't wait. It is
no, no, what I'm saying is like wait out your parlay, dude.
Mm. What? Yes, what did we tell him?
You and I told him, but this clown told him to hedge it. Quiet, because security.
I loved Clemson.
You want to have security. Clemson's going
to
win.
I'm trying to find this guy because it broke it down perfectly.
He goes, well, Coach, I feel like giving up on life or something like
that. I just wonder what it's like to be like this Joe Burrow kid and like have that pressure in your life where like dad was so close. Brothers are so close. Now it's on me. Like, what's that like? And if they would have lost, like, is that just heartbreaking? And then your whole family feels like failures, and now you got to go do something else to make yourself feel better? Like, what is, I don't have that gene.
I don't think he would have felt like a failure. I think he'd have been disappointed he lost, but I still think he would have felt proud of where he came from and what he's accomplished, and he was going on to the next level. And it just felt good. Like, it felt awesome to bring a championship home. It's sort of like, I want to know what it's like to grow up in those households, like the Watt household. Just think how competitive that house was.
I picture the Watt household like them wrestling and breaking lamps every time.
Everything. I feel like they broke couches. I feel like they had no furniture because it was all broken.
Right.
The Gronkowskis. Humongous. I mean, the Gronkowskis, I can't even put my head around what that house was growing up.
Can you imagine them arguing at breakfast, breaking glasses and tables? And
probably over each other's heads.
Right. Just because they're arguing over something.
Something stupid. Give me the lucky charms. No, give me the lucky charms.
Oh, my God. Here you go.
Okay.
Sorry, it took 10 years.
No, Coach, we were stalling
the parlay dude guy said, hey, should I hedge this parlay? He did a jackass $50 bet, and he had a chance to win $500.
Right, he won six games. It was six games.
It was an amazing run.
He won five.
He hit it because LSU won.
It was amazing. It was amazing. All he had to do was let the parlay play out, and he won $500.
Which is what you said and what I said.
What we said. And what does he do? He hedges it and puts $500 on Clemson plus 6.5. Then he bought a half point to expand the window. So his window he was hoping for is that LSU would win, but they wouldn't win by more than 6.5. And he goes, the middle would pay $900. So he's hoping for this window of 6 points, where he would get $916.
That's, okay. That's what professional gamblers do. You guys realize that,
great,
right?
Coach, he's not a professional gambler.
In the six-point window, he would get $900. Over here, if Clemson wins, he would get $366, less than his original parlay. If LSU,
but he would still get something.
I know, but if LSU won, zero. He would get $0 and lose $450.
No, lose the potential to have that.
No.
Yeah. No, he didn't lose any money.
He put $500 down.
$50.
No,
he won the parlay. Okay, so the parlay hit.
He won the parlay, okay. So he lost $50.
No. So I guess he said if LSU covers, it's zero.
Right, if LSU...
He came out absolutely zero.
Right. He broke, after
good God.
But that's what he wanted. Yeah. That's what a hedge bet does.
Yes.
That's what you wanted.
He was trying to go big.
Whoever you are, listen to me.
The point of a hedge bet is to guarantee yourself money.
Correct.
That's a hedge.
Yeah, a hedge is to guarantee money.
Then you must lose a lot. If you hedge to guarantee that you don't lose or win...
Yeah. A hedge is supposed to be guarantee yourself money.
If you're a total loser, yes, then you're hedging just to make break even.
If you want to hedge to break even, then why the hell even bet in the first place?
Well, you need to get out of Vegas.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but in this parlay's instance, though, he had $50 at risk. From the very beginning, he had $50 at risk. That's it.
Yes.
That's all he was risking.
Right, right.
$50.
But you don't understand how you're looking at it a weird way.
I'm looking at it as a lot, as what you're going to lose. Because gambling, you don't look at how much you can win.
No, you do.
No, you don't.
Yes.
Because
when you hedge, you are looking at how much you can win. If you are hedging, if you have a five-game parlay sitting here,
$500,
and you can win $100,000, you are looking at the hedge as to, okay, I can guarantee.
I'm talking before hedge. Before hedge, you placed a $50 parlay,
but the reason
you would think that these six games would hit, right?
Right, and you hit five of them.
Five.
So then that's when you hedge.
Dumbass, this is what you did the bet for, to win $500. Let it ride.
No, but.
But he shouldn't have involved the point spreads. All he needed to do was money line Clemson. He already had LSU money lined. Do a money line of $100 and you're guaranteed to win like $250. He didn't need to risk $500.
It was the greedy. What do we call it?
Yeah, it was the greedy gap.
Over a $600 gap.
But that's okay. It's okay to be greedy over $600.
But a 6 point gap of touchdown seven. He had a gap that wasn't even a touchdown in a game where only touchdowns were going to be scored.
There was a field goal.
No. You get field goals, and it can be
a What was the final score? Touchdown City. It's not a Green Bay, or it's not a...
They kicked a field goal.
Okay, but I'm saying NFL game, I mean, what is a game that's going to have touchdowns and field goals? Chiefs?
Every football game.
Damn it all! Chiefs ain't going to kick field goals.
What are you talking about?
So you never want to...
They kick field goals all the time.
Yeah, they have Bucker. He is their kicker.
What are you talking about?
Titans are going to kick field goals.
God. No, they're not. They've only kicked 8 on the year.
Oh, my goodness. Stop talking.
Last night's game, you knew it was only a touchdown game. So why would you bet a 6 line?
That's weird. It's weird that he picked a 6 line.
Look.
A greedy gap.
I, as that game unfolded towards the end, I was like, dang. But... the score, it was a good game. And Joe Burrow, what I was saying is, I loved his speech afterwards.
Yeah, you said that already.
No, I didn't even get to the part I loved.
Oh, there's more?
He already gave the Heisman speech. Just copy and
paste
that
one.
You
told the whole thing about my family, like my dad, my brothers.
That's not the part I love.
And you know what? As a kid, he couldn't hoist that because they never had the 14 playoff system.
What does hoist mean?
Put something in the air.
Oh.
Hey, but they never had the 4-team playoff when he was a kid.
He's talking about the national championship. That's what he was saying. Hoist the national championship.
He didn't know about the 4-team playoff as a kid.
Who comes up with these damn words? Pick up the trophy. Hold it up. Raise it above your head. Show it proud. Like, what the?
Hoist? He got up
there. Crown their ass.
Hey, you can crown them. They won. LSU, champs. But he got up there and he said, listen, this isn't just about me. This isn't about Coach O. This isn't about the offensive line. The defensive line, defensive backs.
It's about the Gators in the swamp.
God, he said, man, Jesus, the man upstairs.
It's about the chefs. It's about the athletic trainers.
Okay, stop it. Stop it. Whoa. I'm going to stop you right there. That is plagiarism.
He stole that from Derrick Henry.
Get out of here with that.
What are you talking about?
Derrick Henry did the same speech when they beat Baltimore. The same exact. No, it wasn't Baltimore.
Before that, Patriots.
It was the Patriots. He did the same speech. I want to thank from the people that clean the locker rooms, everyone involved in this organization. I want to thank all of them. What a freaking cheat!
And he just stole threw a Sharpie across.
He said, I want to thank the dining room assistants.
Oh my God.
The equipment staff. Everybody gets a part of this. It's not just us here on the stage.
I want to thank the guy that does the urinal cakes.
I want to thank. So thank you so much, King. Thank you, LSU.
I want to thank the people that cut the grass. Oh, wait, we play on turf.
I want to thank Ryan Tanner. I mean, the chef. I want to thank Mario. I mean, the guy that sweeps the floor. Was he reading it? Was it on a prompter, Coach?
You really think he stole that from Derrick Henry?
Coach, how did this happen two weeks ago?
Because here's the thing. I never heard the Derrick Henry.
Well, that's okay, Coach. You don't see everything. I saw it.
Derrick Henry literally goes, I want to thank the people in the dining room feeding us.
He literally said, it's not just us from the field of the coaches.
Coach, Derrick Henry named everybody in the Titans facility.
Everyone. Oh, my gosh. Now, let's be silent. Man. I want the listeners to know what it's like to do a podcast with Lunchbox. Be silent while he researches and tries to prove it wrong.
This makes me sad if he stole it from Derrick Henry.
This is generational now
because back in the day, everybody thanked God. But now the new it thing to do is thank the facilities and the kitchen staff and the people that placed the urinal cakes.
God got trumped by the janitor.
Dude, all of a sudden, now you just name the people on the entire staff at this facility.
You know what? The good thing here, let's look at the positive side, is that now a lot more people will start be getting thanked. Like our mailman. The garbage guy. Let's spread it out even more.
Yes.
Our accountant.
You have an accountant?
If it was a good reporter.
No, I'm saying like these guys.
The reporter should have said.
Did you see OBJ, Odell Beckham, on the freaking field after the game?
In the field. He's in the locker room.
Yeah, he was handing out wads of cash to all the players.
Really?
Really? Look at this guy. Like, I do not understand.
Are they going to get in trouble for taking cash from?
Well, they're all going pro, so look at them. Handing out $100 bills, wads of them. There you go, buddy. Great job. Like, what is Odell Beckham Jr. doing?
NCAA might need to look into that one.
That's a problem.
Like, I don't understand. What is he thinking?
You know that player was like,
That's what he thinks about is hand out $100, like, wads of cash to these kids.
You know what that player should have done? It's just like, nah, I can't accept that.
The NCAA would have loved it.
No, hey, get me back in the locker room.
Yeah, hit me up later tonight. I'll come pick it up.
Hey, Venmo? You do Venmo?
They touch phones? Cool, thank you.
It was very interesting.
That's
I was like,
strange, man.
Strange thing to be handing out wads of cash to these kids in front of all the media. Like, why not just congratulate them, Odell? Got to make it about you and handing out
have
money.
Well, what sometimes if, do the dumbest thing.
What if Odell made a $10,000 bet and he won? He's like, here's like
Odell made a $10,000 bet, coach.
That's an interesting angle. I don't
500,000. What coach?
I mean, I would imagine what it was 100,000 probably.
Okay, and then he gave him 1,000 in cash.
Like 10,000 puckers me
that's,
up.
That's a dealer tip. Like, thanks dealer, here's a tip.
I just found it interesting.
Did Odell not realize there were cameras rolling?
I mean, he's in the middle of the field, and there's microphones everywhere.
That's exactly why he did it.
That's exactly why he did it.
Why he did it, but that's exactly why the other players didn't want him to do it.
Odell can't let those kids have the moment. He's got to come out there and be like, hey, look what I'm doing. I'm Odell. I went to LSU. Here you go.
And Randy Moss, I mean, he was actually up in the stands.
He was in the stands.
He laid back.
He was a proud dad.
Leonard Fournette, was he there?
No, he's not. Oh, I didn't see him. His brother quit the team, though.
Oh, really?
Zeke Elliott was there.
Oh, what about Honey Badger?
Honey Badger was there.
He was?
Yeah.
What about Trump?
Trump was there.
Really?
Vince Vaughn was there.
I saw that.
who else was there? Dabo Sweeney was there.
Blabo?
I can't, but just so you know, heading into next year, Clemson's the favorite to win it all.
Of course they are. Every year with Blabo.
They're going to be so mad. They're going to want revenge.
Lawrence coming back with longer hair all the way to his ass.
What was that Saban video that you were... Oh,
this dude goes, did you see what Saban said? And I was like, no, I didn't. I looked down, I was like, damn, that's crazy. It's not even real.
Did you even question it, coach?
Dude, it was midnight, dude. I was taking care of a crying kid all night. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. I just had the audio. I didn't watch it.
What was the audio?
It was like,
the guy didn't even sound like Saban.
It was like Saban sitting on the set before the game and Desmond Howard or whatever asked him a question about, you know, is LSU the new class of the whatever? And Saban's like, oh, they beat us one time in 7 years, and we're going to talk about they get here one time, one lucky transfer of Joe Burrow. And Clemson, don't even get me started with Clemson. They don't have to play anybody.
It was a dude videoing his TV, but with it mute, and he was doing the voice.
Yeah, and it was funny audio, and I was like, damn, that's crazy. I can't believe Saban said that, because, I mean, I'm dealing with a crying kid. I'm tired, and I'm like, I didn't watch it. I just had the audio. And then he replies, he goes, oh, it turns out that's fake.
I thought you guys were, like, really believing that it was real.
Dude, I don't break it down. I listened to it, and I was like, okay, moving on.
There was a GIF meme of Saban sitting there, and they're like, he, in his head right now, is wanting to kill. He's imagining murdering somebody.
So mad.
Because he had to be on set. I mean, dude, he's never on set. No. He's coaching game.
That I don't like that they let him on set. That is just...
Set's definitely a different dynamic.
That is ESPN saying, look at how much we love Alabama. We're going to put Nick Saban up here, and we're going to give him the platform because we love Alabama. Sort of like they love Duke in basketball. We're going to put Nick Saban up here.
What other coach would you put up there? College football coach. A relevant college football coach that you would love to hear from.
Okay. Why
Pick
not?
Pick one.
ESPN.
Pick
you.
One.
No, hold on. You let me finish. Okay. Put in the Ohio State, Jason Day. He made it farther
coach,
than Alabama.
He's had 1 year. One season.
I understand why they do it.
Harbaugh.
No.
Harbaugh, there you go.
Don't, Harbaugh, he loses.
What does Saban do?
He's lost for the first time. He's been on top of the world.
He didn't win last year.
I want to hear what Grouch has to say.
What they did was interesting, though. On ESPNU, you had four head coaches sitting around a table watching the game, and they talked about it as they watched it.
That's pretty dope.
It was awesome to watch. It was so cool how they could break down a play like, oh, they got that single coverage up here. I bet you that's where they're going.
Second level stuff, huh?
Second level.
Did they forget sometimes that they're on camera?
No.
Well, I think that's cool because it kind of puts all the viewers in check of like, hey, idiots, all you freaking couch
that think you know stuff.
Potatoes that think you know everything about why a game didn't turn out the way you thought it was, that's why.
Yeah.
Right.
You know nothing.
It was really cool to watch, and they had the widescreen so you could see the players
that
get
is
open.
Cool.
And one time, someone checked it down and missed a guy that cut wide open. He's like, oh, hold it. He didn't see him. Take it back. And they reverse it. And they're like, look, right as he throws it, the guy breaks open down deep for a touchdown. Oh, I mean, they were just, it was really cool.
Now you watch this one time, right?
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Now,
would you watch it again?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I would. Because it's interesting to hear some of the smartest people in the game.
Who are the coaches? Any notable
Gundy
ones?
From Oklahoma State.
Say no more.
That's Patterson from TCU. Who else was there?
Penn State guy?
Maybe. No, it wasn't Franklin.
Did they shoot the crap at all? Like, hey, man, you couldn't get here, you douche.
Yeah, do they mess with each other?
No, they didn't really talk trash. Okay. They didn't really talk trash.
They probably got to keep it pro.
Yeah, they got to keep it pro. It was interesting. But back to the Saban thing, I just think they put him on TV and it's like, oh, here, look at all the recruits he's Saban on TV. Give him an unfair advantage. Maybe it's just me because I hate Alabama and I hate Saban.
It is just you.
That is.
Saban did have that same thing with Duke, coach. You got to have Duke on there because they're a powerhouse.
I understand, but they give them favoritism and it's annoying.
If Kansas becomes another powerhouse again, they'll have a powerhouse again.
They're far, coach.
They are very far from that.
They got romp house by Oregon.
Right. Coach.
By Oregon or by Baylor?
Both of them.
No, they didn't play Oregon.
They're both green.
They got the same colors, kind of that neon. No, before we go, we got to talk about the Astros.
What?
They are cheaters.
Yeah.
We've known this, but it looks like they're now getting... Are they trash can?
They're the trash can one. Okay. Boom, trash can boom, gate. Boom. Okay. So they come out with this like 9-page report. They suspend A.J. Hinch, the manager, a year.
Yeah.
The GM suspended a year.
Did you say 9 pages? I think it'd be more in-depth than that.
I think that's what I read.
Well, maybe front and back.
Well,
Coach, what was the font, too?
So... They said,
guys, they came out with this huge-ass report. 9 pages.
And they fined the Astros.
Coach, our college papers weren't even
$5
that short.
$5 million.
What, Altuve, what did he get fined?
No, not Altuve.
Yeah, they take the trophy away? That's all I care about.
They took away their first and second round draft pick this year and next year.
Wait, didn't they trade for that?
Well, then here's what's crazy. So after the report comes out, the manager and GM get suspended for a year. The owner says, no, that's not good enough. Fire. You're both fired.
Ooh.
Fired them both.
Trump their ass. You're fired.
What the report basically said is that the GM may have not known about it, but they hold him responsible for not knowing what's going on with his club.
Oh, he knew about it when you hear a banging on a trash can every time your guys are at the back.
The manager, A.J. Hinch, knew about it. Wasn't the architect, basically, but he let it go. He didn't put a stop to it. Alex Cora, who is now the manager of the Red Sox, is the one that pretty much orchestrated it, and he's going to get hammered with penalties because they're now investigating the Red Sox, and he's going to be probably suspended longer than that. And they said the culture in the Astros organization is very, very bad. Bad culture.
They did get the World Series out of it, and they didn't take that away, so whatever. But my point is this. The umps never heard any of that banging on a trash can.
The umps can't know what that means.
Coach, every time a guy's about to swing, you hear two hits to a trash can?
It could be someone in the audience.
With a drum.
The crowd.
Anyways, guys, let's bring this to the lower levels. You don't think other kids are going to try and imitate and mimic this? You hear a kid always saying the same cheer. Come on, Jeremy. Come on, Mike. And listen for this. If there's a guy on second base, he's stealing signs, you can get in trouble.
No.
This is going to happen.
This was because of the technology.
Now. But this is an idea. Yeah, but that's you can also why do the second base.
You can steal signs with your eyes. There's no penalty for that, really, except for the pitcher can hit you with the ball because you're stealing signs.
Because and they change signs. Technology.
Yes, it's because
that's the consequence.
Technology, but, and you're not allowed to do that.
Okay, but maybe it's not illegal at the lower levels. But what I'm saying is because they can't use technology, they're smart enough people. But what I'm saying is, if you hear a kid all the time yelling, doing cheers, you even hear a banging. The other team's cheating. Switch up your signs. I'm just telling you, this is giving the idea to younger levels of class.
But
with
can't
kids.
The second baseman steal the sign? Like
he can. That's why you change up the signs.
Well, the second baseman is
on your team.
On your team, so he's not stealing anything.
The runner,
I meant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's right. Why you
and he,
change.
And he can throw back a sign, and then they can bang on the trash can.
Yeah, that's why when they're on second base, they usually do a different indicator, and they do a different, they switch it up. And it usually switches throughout the game because they worry people are going to catch on.
And you can see where the catcher moves, if he moves inside or outside. If you see the catcher move inside, come on, Jeremy. Anytime your teammate says, come on, Jeremy, that means the catcher goes outside. Coach, there's ways. Listen, kids, just be aware of it.
But see, I don't understand the whole catcher moving thing. Can't you see that in your peripheral?
I think you can feel it.
Yeah.
But let's be real. Unless you're in the majors, a lot of times they don't hit their spots. But yes.
Well, we're talking about majors.
Oh, yeah, you can feel it.
Yeah, we're not talking about minor A ball when you're 11 years old, dude.
We're talking majors, coach.
I mean.
Coach, they don't move until the last second. Okay. Typically is what they try to do.
It's very interesting. But yeah, they got hammered. The Red Sox are about to get hammered. Cora's going to be out. Astros looking for a new manager, new GM.
What's the Patriots penalty on their
They haven't announced that yet.
Hey, you gotta love pro sports, baby. Deflating footballs, videotaping
people.
It's
crazy, guys. Just play the game and
hitting
be cool
trash
with losing.
Cans.
That's my whole thing. Be cool with losing sometimes.
No. These are the ultra competitive people in the world.
Reevaluate your life.
I want to know from that Astros report who absolutely sucked ass that still wasn't able to hit the ball after the trash
can. That's true. Right.
Hey,
yeah, let's go back and look at their averages and be like, dude, we're giving you the damn pitch. How are you not hitting it? No wonder Altuve's hitting 400 in the World Series.
It's your boy, the one you don't
Reddick.
Like.
Reddick. God, Reddick sucks.
Dude, I was wondering why Springer was hitting it over the train tracks.
Every damn time.
He knew the fastball was coming.
Hey, Altuve's hitting 900 at home. Go on the road, he's betting $1.50.
Hey. Huh. Get ready for the Strohs to hit about 200 this year. No trash cans, boys.
All right, boys.
All right, guys. Wonderful. Congratulations, LSU.
Good win.
Goo Tigers.
And congrats to that guy who did the parlay. You won $0.
Oh, man, I feel bad for him. No. Why got to rub it in?
Because we told him.
Yeah, we told him.
To let the parlay roll.
If you're going to ask the sore losers, be cool with a 2-1. Be cool with that. Me and Ray were the majority on that vote, and you still went lunchbox.
And me and Sore Losers Locks on Twitter were telling the guy, do not do the bet. Do not do it. Just let it roll. And he still did it and ended up even.
Why? Because this dude calls himself the sports genius.
No, that dude, here's the thing. He in his gut was feeling Clemson or else he wouldn't ask the question.
True.
That's why.
You're right.
And he wanted to hear someone reaffirm that they believe in Clemson, and I believe
in
Clemson.
And all he needed to hear was you.
And I know he's still puckered, whoever that guy was, but I did send him. I sent him a DM. I sent him the Bovada referral link.
Coach. Oh, my God.
Dude, you are like a prosty. Like, you'll go after anybody, dude.
Shameless.
Well, all right, we got to go.
See you guys.